Let us pray. Gracious, most merciful Heavenly Father, we are grateful today that you have allowed us to gather and worship you. You have called us out of darkness into light. That we were once not a people, but now we are your people, saved by the matchless mercy of your sovereign grace, washed in the blood of your precious Son. We ask now that you would come in your mighty spirit and meet with us as you have already this morning. We ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to comprehend this glorious gospel you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many things that I love about this great nation in which we live. I thank God for the freedom that we have to worship. I thank God for the brave men and women who have served this country well, and some who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to keep us free. I love how we in America are truly a melting pot. How many different cultures have come together to make up this nation. And one of my favorite things to do when we travel to a city is to discover the different ethnic groups that are in the city, because I love to eat their food. Don't you? Red, yellow, black, and white, all their food is precious in my sight. And I have to be really careful. My doctor warned me last January, if I didn't drop some weight and get my cholesterol under control, I would not be enjoying their food for much longer. But I do love the different backgrounds and the different cultures that have made up this great nation. That really reflects the creative genius of our God. And in that aspect, we're very different. We come from different backgrounds. But spiritually speaking, all of humanity can be summed up in two groups. All of humanity can be put in one of two categories. You are either in darkness or you are in light. You either belong to the kingdom of Satan or you belong to the kingdom of God. You are either alive in Christ or you are dead in sin. There is no middle ground. There is no straddling the fence. You either belong to God or you do not. And that is the distinction that Paul is making to the Thessalonians here in our text. He draws a distinction between the world and between the church. He draws a distinction between the non-Christian and the Christian, and he uses the analogy light and darkness. He's doing this because the Thessalonians have become worried and anxious about their future. It seems that they were concerned that their future in Christ was not secure. They fear that maybe it is possible for them to lose the promise of their salvation, as though they would be caught off guard and be subject to the wrath of God. So the Apostle Paul goes to work. And he wants the Thessalonians to know that their future is secure if they are in Christ. They are now the children of God, and by the grace of God, they will never have to fear the wrath of God. And that is the distinction that I want to make for us this morning. That if you belong to God, you have nothing to fear. But friend, if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, you have much to fear. The apostle draws the line in the sand. He says, on this side is the world and what they are like. And on the other side is the church and what she is like. Notice what Paul says about the world. He says in verse 5, they are people of the night, of darkness. He goes on to describe them as people who sleep. That is, they are spiritually dead to God. They are spiritually dead to His ways. They are in a coma. They are not aware of what God desires, and they don't care what God desires for them. They are dead in their sin. The unconverted believer, he lives in peace and security. What Paul says here in this text is true of the world today. That they believe that they live in peace and security, and they are not aware of the terror that awaits them in the judgment. And Paul says that that day of the Lord will catch them unaware, like a thief in the night. You can always tell an unbeliever by the way he or she lives. Their belief system, what they really believe, what they're really about, is manifest in their lifestyle. Remember the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says that you know a tree by the fruit that that tree bears. Bad trees bear bad fruit. Good trees bear good fruit. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 about the unbeliever that they are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. You know the world by the fruit that they bear. It does not matter what people say they believe. Just allow time to examine how they live, and then you know who they really are and which side they belong to. Either they belong to the light or the darkness. And if their light and their life demonstrates evil, they belong to darkness. Not only is the world known by the fruit that they bear, but they are known by the way that they think. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that the mind is set, that the worldly mind is set on the things of the flesh. It is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and it cannot submit to the law of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does that describe you? I know that you've been coming to church for a long time, but what is your motive for being here? Do these words describe you? That you are given to evil desires, that you really don't care about the law of God, and your mind does not submit to Him. John says in his gospel that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. This is how the world lives and thinks. This is how children of darkness think and live. And friends, this is how we all lived at one point. Is it not? It was the condition we were all in. We were all trapped in sin, caring not for what God thought of it, on our way to a Christless eternity. Paul says of us in Ephesians that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we all once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That was all of us. But oh, I am so thankful, Bears, this morning for the grace of God. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God? God in His just and holy wrath could have left us in that condition. But God, who is rich in mercy, Paul follows up, while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, made us alive together with God in Christ. He did it. He did the impossible. He raised the dead. He gave us life when there was no life at all. I love the vision that Ezekiel has in, I believe it's chapter 37 of Ezekiel. God shows him a valley of dry bones. And God asks the prophet, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel gives the only answer, I guess, that anyone could give. Oh God, you know. God, if these bones are going to live, you're going to have to do something about it. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, prophesy my word to the bones. And as Ezekiel began to speak God's word, the Spirit of God began to breathe upon the bones. And you know the story, they became alive. The dead became alive by the power of God's word and by the power of His Spirit. And that is what happens to us in the new birth and regeneration. We move from being the dead bones in darkness to being children of light, filled with the power of God, filled with His Spirit, filled with His Word, alive because of what God has done. Because He is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By His matchless grace, we have been saved. And because of that, Paul can say with confidence, we have switched teams. We have moved sides. We are no longer on the side of darkness, but we are now children of the light. And he says it plainly to them. In verse 5 of our text, he says, you are children of the light. Notice he doesn't beg them, Jeff. He doesn't say, please, please be children of the light. Please, please act like God wants you to act. He doesn't say that. He says clearly that you are different. You are children of the light. And he says that because they are different. We are different in Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we have to decide to do. It is who we are now by our new nature. We are no longer children of darkness, but we are children of the light. What a wonderful phrase Paul uses to describe us Christians. It is reminiscent of our Lord's words in Matthew. Remember, I believe it's chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. The church is a city on top of a hill full of light that cannot be hidden. We have been changed. We have been transformed. We are now God's children, and therefore we reflect His character. I love being a father. Well, most of the time I love being a father. I have a 5-year-old son, and I love that little boy. He's my little boy. And people often tell me, he looks a lot like you, Paul. And I wish they would tell me that he looks more like his mother because she's far better looking than I am. But of course, Jack looks like me. Of course, Jack has characteristics that are like me. My DNA is running through him. He's mine. He's my Jackie boy. And so it is with Christians. Now, sometimes you've got to look harder in some Christians than others, but you'll find it there. God's DNA is running through them because they belong to God. God has spoken into their spiritual graveyards. He has spoken into our spiritual graveyards. He has walked to our tomb and called us out by His mighty word. We are what Paul calls us in Corinthians, new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We were once enemies of God. Now we are friends of God. We once belonged to the kingdom of Satan, but now we have been rescued and we belong to the kingdom of God. We once lived in the passions of our flesh, and now we live by the power of God's Spirit. That is why for us Christians, it is uncomfortable for us to persist in sin. It's unnatural now. For the kingdom of darkness, it is natural for them to persist in sin, to think nothing of the future to come, to think nothing of God's judgment to come. For they belong to darkness, but for us, we cannot but help think of those things to come. We cannot help but delight in the thought of our eternal home to come, to delight in knowing that God's wrath has passed because Jesus took our wrath. What Paul says here, we are not destined for wrath, but to obtain a salvation full and free because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have been made alive in Christ, and we are by nature now children of the living God. And Paul strives to remind them of that. And then notice in verse 6, he gives an exhortation. He says, don't be like those who sleep. But if I can put it in my own words, he says, but be who you are. Don't act like who you used to be. Be who you are now. Be who God has declared you to be in Christ Jesus now. Remember your identity. If there is anything that the enemy wants you to do, it is this, Christian. He wants you to forget who you are. He wants you to have spiritual amnesia. He wants you to have an identity crisis. He does not want you to know who you are and what God has called you to be in Christ. He wants you to live in a defeatist mentality. But I've got good news for you today. If you're in an identity crisis, if you have spiritual amnesia, you don't have to continue to live that way. God has called you out to be different. God has called you to be a light in a dark world. He has called you and put His Spirit in you to give you the ability to live for Him, to serve Him, and to follow Him. I love the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm not much into those types of movies, but I love the redemptive themes that you can find in Lord of the Rings. And one of the main characters in Lord of the Rings is Aragorn. And do you remember that Aragorn was meant to be the king of the age of man? But he was living as a ranger. He was living way below what he had been called to be. He was living way below his true identity. And one day, the Lord of Elrond showed up. And he took the sword of Aragorn's ancestors, and he placed it in Aragorn's hands. And he said to Aragorn, stop being a ranger and be who you really are. Be the king you are. And this morning, I believe God would have us accept the sword of His word and to hear what He says about us and about our identity. And He would have us to stop living below our identity. The Bible says we are priests and kings unto God, and our life should reflect that. When you begin to meditate and think about what God has said about who we are, and that begins to change the way you think, your attitude, your actions, your behavior begins to change. God begins to transform you into the image of His Son. You stop looking like the devil and you start looking more like Jesus. Does that describe you this morning? Have you been in an identity crisis? Have you forgotten who you are? Do you need power to forgive your spouse? Do you need power to show forgiveness to someone who's sitting across the sanctuary? The power lies in this. You are now a child of light. Behave that way. God has given you the power to live that way if you will take the sword of His Word and be who you really are, a new creation in Christ. Or I wonder if this morning you've never experienced that transformation. That you really still belong to the kingdom of darkness. That you know all the right words to say. You know all the right belief systems to have. A transformation has never really taken place. But maybe this morning, in God's mercy and grace, you are waking up to who you are and who you need to be. If that describes you, that is only happening because of God's sovereign grace and mercy. And I pray that if you are in darkness this morning, you will come out by the power of God and learn what it means to live as children of the light. Brothers and sisters, what a great hope we have. Paul says that we do not have to fear the judgment that is to come. For when Jesus descends with a shout of an archangel, when He comes with His holy army, the Bible says we will be caught up with Him to forever live with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. And on that day, our great King is going to make everything sad come untrue. He's going to right every wrong. He's going to dry every tear. Children of the light, be filled with hope today. Your Savior, the great warrior, stands at the door and He's about to return. Rejoice in this, that your sins are forgiven and you are now children of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You have accomplished for us in Christ. May we always remember. May we never forget. Lord, help us to live today in light of the day to come. Help us to live up to the identity You have given us, that we would be sober-minded, that we would not give in to our sinful desires, but we would put them to death by the power of Your Word, by the power of Your Spirit, and we would be who You've called us to be, children of the light. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.